Holy God,
we confess our failure to live and serve evil.
Across the barriers that divide race from race, rich from poor, women from men, people of different sexual orientations, people of different abilities and disabilities, and people of different ages.
Reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
All are welcome.
May all become one.
Christ's holiness is revealed in abundant grace and love. In Christ's grace and love, our brokenness is filled and our divisions mended. We gather here and now as the forgiven and healed children of God and the body of Christ.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn is number 219. Number 219, all are welcome.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, you make us for each other to live in loving community as families, companions, and friends. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like children, that we may reflect the image of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and praise, one God, now and forever.
Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my life song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He watched a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they yield no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Philippians. If they think they have the right, put their trust in the external evidence. I have more right. I was circumcised on the eighth day, being of the stock of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew origins. In legal observance, I was a Pharisee, and so zealous that I persecuted the church. I was above reproach when it came to justice based on law. But those things I used to consider gain, now I count as loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss in light of the surpassing knowledge of my Savior Jesus Christ, for whose sake I have forfeited everything. I count everything else as garbage, so that Christ may be my wealth. Indeed, that I may be found in Christ, not having any justice based on the justice of my own faith on observance of the law. The justice I possess is of that which comes to the faith in Christ. It has the origin of God and is based on faith. All I want to know, Christ, and the power of the resurrection, and how to share in Christ's sufferings by being formed into the pattern of Jesus' death, perhaps even to arrive at the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have reached it yet or have already finished my course, but I am running the race in order to grab hold of the prize, if possible, since Jesus Christ has grabbed hold of me. Sisters and brothers, I don't think of myself as having reached the finish line. I give no thought to what lies behind, but I push on to what is ahead. My entire intention is on the finish line as I run toward the prize, the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
As we stand, we will be singing the Gospel Acclamation, which is on page 3 of your service sheet and appears as verse 1 of the Gospel Acclamation Sanctus. And again, you're welcome to sing in Spanish. Please rise.
Thank you. The Gospel according to Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect the produce. But the tenants seized the slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them, and they wanted to arrest him. But they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Thanks be to God.
The context for the parable that Jesus tells here is that this comes right after Palm Sunday. In Matthew's narrative, Jesus has just entered Jerusalem. He's gone to the temple. He's driven the money changers out. He's gone and he's spent a night just outside of the town. And then he comes back in the next day and he goes into the temple courtyard and he starts teaching. And he teaches in parables. He shares this parable about a vineyard. And there can be no doubt, especially after the reading that Jerry shared with us this evening, there can be no doubt the moment that he says there was a landowner who had a vineyard, that Jesus is talking about the people of Israel. The vineyard is a common image for the people of Israel. So everybody in the crowd knows immediately Jesus is talking about us. And I think some things to notice within the parable is that the vineyard belongs to God. The vineyard, as Jerry mentioned in his reading, the vineyard is planted on fertile ground. Those of us who have been here for the LCNA retreat, the theme of our retreat this year was sown on good soil. An invitation for those of us in retreat, an invitation for those of us gathered here tonight to remember that we are good soil. We are fertile ground on which this vineyard has been planted. And God, of course, has sown in the vineyard good seeds, choice vines. I like to imagine that what God plants in us are the seeds of hope for personal wholeness in our lives, for a chance to flourish into the full, unique dignity of each one of us, and also the seeds of hope for a community in which all of us can flourish, a community in which all are welcome, as we sang in the gathering hymn today. So the vineyard belongs to God, the seed is planted by God, the soil is good, but God doesn't do all the tending. God leases the vineyard out to tenants to take care of it. The tenants get a bad rap. The tenants, of course, in the parable, they come across as the priests and the Pharisees. Today, the tenants would maybe be the bishops, theologians. But if we think about it, the tenants are everyone who has a hand in caring for the vineyard. So the tenants are the pastors. The tenants are those who teach Sunday school. The tenants are those who plan worship services. The tenants are those who teach confirmation, who lead youth groups. The tenants in this place are everybody, from those who fix the meals, to those who drive the buses, to those who sort the garbage. Everybody here has a role in tending the faith of the community. So the tenants are all of us. Well, the problem that Jesus identifies in the parable is that sometimes the tenants, which is sometimes us, sometimes the tenants forget who the vineyard belongs to. Sometimes the tenants forget the hope in which the seed was sown. And they imagine that the harvest is for them. That the harvest is for their wealth. That the harvest is for their fame. That the harvest is for their power. And one of the themes that comes out in the parable is that God is determined that the harvest belongs to God. So God sends slaves, servants, messengers to secure the harvest. And these particular tenants, and these tenants play out again and again throughout the course of the history of the church, these tenants are kind of drunk on their own greed for power, and they want nothing to do with offering the harvest to God. And so they abuse those who come and try to remind them who the harvest belongs to. Because this particular parable is told, if this is Monday of Holy Week, Jesus is 4 days shy of being arrested. So the parable has a certain poignancy, and you can imagine Jesus' disciples perhaps shifting uncomfortably as suddenly in this parable Jesus is talking about a son who is then sent to collect the harvest, and the son does not succeed in some apocalyptic military victory from heaven, which they may have been hoping for. In the parable, the son too is abused, mistreated, and killed. So in the parable, Jesus intimates to the crowd, to the disciples, to the priests and the Pharisees, that he sees where the end of the road lies. And yet part of what the parable communicates to us is that God is undeterred by this ending to the parable, an ending that most of us may cringe at. God is determined to do whatever is necessary to secure what God has planted in good hope, even if the people at the other end are going to kill the son. God is determined. Now, one of the things that I notice, one of the uncomfortable sticking points in this text, is that at the end of it, we hear these words of vengeance, that surely when the landowner comes, he will put those wretches, those priests, those Pharisees, those bishops, those theologians, he will put them to a miserable death. And if you read the text closely, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus ends the parable simply with an open-ended question. What do you expect that the landowner will do when he comes? And it is the people's imagination who fill in the answer. Surely God is going to settle the score by spilling some blood. I imagine Jesus might have had another hope in mind, but the parable ends simply with the open-ended question, what do you think will happen? I would invite us tonight to imagine perhaps an answer different than what the people came up with. what do you think the landowner will do? Perhaps the landowner will somehow find a way to invite people into conversation. Find some way to restore the welcome that God intended for God's people, and some way for there to be a moment of reconciliation to happen. We have, over the course of the last couple days here in our retreat, we've assembled this altar, and on the altar we have gifts of the earth, we have gifts of the soil, and gifts of the soul that we've kind of covered this with, including in some places the stories of our lives. And I can imagine Jesus wishing that when the landowner returns, that maybe what happens is that people simply pause and listen to the stories of one another's lives and hear how the seed has been sown, how the soil has been tilled. We have on our altar here the names of people who have tended the good soil in our lives. And we have on here bits of paper bearing the various gifts, the plants that we have found sown in our lives. And we have on here the names of those persons who will come after us that we hope will benefit from the harvest of this particular vineyard. And I can imagine that Jesus would hope that we might be able to answer the question in a way that does not kill those who oppose us, but somehow invites them into friendship with us. The other thing in the text that I want to comment on, it comes at the very end of the text, after the parable. Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. He says, "Have you never read the scripture where it says that the stone that the builders rejected has now been made the cornerstone?" And the temptation, I think, often is to read this text as a big spotlight shining on Jesus. Who is the stone that the builders have rejected? Well, of course, it's Jesus. But if you go back to the psalm isn't singing about Jesus. The psalm is singing about the riffraff of Israel. The psalm is a psalm of praise to a God who gathers the least expected, who gathers those cut off, who in a time when the people think that they have been forgotten, this God comes and gathers them in. I would suggest that the cornerstone is the welcoming activity of God. The cornerstone is the kingdom of God. At the end of the parable, Jesus in fact says that the vineyard is going to be taken away from those who want to keep the harvest for themselves, and the vineyard will be given to those who are willing to produce the fruits of the kingdom. And for Jesus, if you look at his ministry, if you look at the parables that he tells, the fruits of the kingdom are what we sang about in our gathering hymn. They're a table where there is a seat for everybody. A house where there is a welcome mat that points in all directions, that speaks all languages, that bears all colors, that says everybody is welcome here. The fruits of the kingdom appear in every miracle that Jesus works, where he takes somebody who in some way has been broken and cut off from community and invites them back into community. They appear in every parable that Jesus tells, where he takes the way that we look at the world and turns it upside down and invites us to look at the world through God's eyes. The fruits of the kingdom appear in every meal that Jesus holds, where the least expected people find a place at the table. So the cornerstone of our faith, is the welcoming work of God. And I invite us to hold that in our hearts. I want to close tonight by sharing a poem that I wrote over the summer, and I'll preface it. I think it's a poem that ties in nicely with the text tonight, because it includes, it's a poem in which I imagine words that Jesus says to his disciples. And he says these words to his disciples with his impending death approaching. And in the poem, I use the phrase, the queer kingdom of God. The word queer, which has been often used as a word to bash and beat down our GLBT brothers and sisters, the word queer originally means to foul or to spoil. And so certain people were labeled as queer as though they fouled or spoiled what it meant to be human. And as some of you may know, there are members of the GLBT community who have claimed that word back the same way that we in the Christian tradition claimed the cross back. We said we're not going to allow that to continue to be a symbol of terror in our lives. We're going to claim it back. We're the long beneficiaries of that. For 300 years after Jesus was crucified, there are no Christian artworks that paint Jesus on the cross. Because for 300 years, the cross remained an image of terror, too difficult for Christians to embrace. We've claimed that back. People in the GLBT community have claimed the word queer back and have said we're not going to allow that to be used to oppress us. And in fact, what it means for us to be queer is not that we spoil the image of humanity, but that we spoil the efforts of humanity to oppress us. That we will queer all efforts at oppression. And if you think about it from that perspective, Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus proclaims, is indeed a queer kingdom. It's a kingdom that seeks to turn inside out patterns of oppression. Oftentimes when I preach and when I write, I drop the G out of the word kingdom and I talk about kingdom. Because typically what Jesus means when he talks about kingdom is he means the activity of God making all things kin. In this poem, I leave the phrase kingdom in because what Jesus queers is all the earthly images of what it means to be a king. And so this is the queer kingdom of God. Oh, I'll also tell you before I read it. At the end of the poem, I'm imagining here that Jesus senses that he is about to die, that his disciples are going to be thrown for a loop by this. They're not going to know how to respond. And he gives them a threefold riddle, which is a bit like a Zen koan as it comes across in the poem, something for them to hold on to after Jesus has died, and they're thinking to themselves, what in the world went wrong here? And Jesus, I'm imagining, leaves them with these words as words of hope, words to reorient themselves. The queer kingdom of God. Said Jesus to those gathered near, the kingly deeds of God are queer. They foul the plans of those whose more is but the spoils of the poor. God's kingly deeds intend to spoil earth's foolish dreams of what is royal. The tales I tell are meant to free your ears to hear, your eyes to see. When God is king, the rule of men is plain no rule at all, my friends. When wealth and power go hand in hand, 'tis tyranny that leads the land. Thus God does queer the very thing that earth imagines makes a king. It isn't wealth or might or name, nor brutal force, nor far-flung fame. The royalty of God begins by claiming every person kin. When God is king and claiming kin, the outcast ones are gathered in. No wonder then that under breath the powers that be now whisper death. Mm-hmm. To one who dares to call their bluff, suggest they've ruled for long enough. For regal claims of welcome wide, the Christ of God is crucified. But let this riddle hold you then, that kingdom come might come again. What is the sound of mustard seed, growing wild like a weed? What is the sound of leavened wheat, stretched enough for all to eat? What is the sound of new-made wine, bursting skins of old design? To enemies now speak as friends, and with the poor make full amends. Let kindness be the name you chase, so every stranger finds a place. Let welcome be the wealth you keep, and keep it well both wide and deep. The doing of these holy deeds, this sounds like wine and wheat and seeds. For resurrection does begin when you join God in making kin. Amen.
We now sing as our hymn of the day from the hymn sheet, David's hymn, Now the Welcome. We sing it to the tune, Thine the Honor, Thine the Praise. God of steadfast love is, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we gather around your table this evening, representing many backgrounds. Some of us volunteers and staff here at Holden, some of us are long-term and some of us are short-term. But we have come to this place to seek shelter, to find peace, to listen for your voice, and to be servants to each other and to our guests. Open your arms to us and enfold us that this particular vineyard might be founded on good soil and produce good fruit. God of steadfast love, gracious liberating God, some of us come with Lutherans concerned from all over North America. We too come seeking shelter and peace. But many of us will be leaving tomorrow to return to a world where peace is at times fragile, and relationships can be tense and all too easily broken. Protect all who leave this place. May they carry your blessing with them. May your angels surround them. For those who are called to be prophetic, be a strong wind of courage within them. For those who are called to be healers, fill them with your reconciling love. For those who may still be afraid to live out their identity before others, surround them with your enfolding, all-accepting love. Thank you for their gifts to us during this weekend of grace. God of steadfast love,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all of our guests, no matter what their background. Each individual who comes to this valley marks us by his or her presence. No individual leaves this place without having changed us in some small way. May we have learned from those who have come up the mountain, and may we have shared something of ourselves with those who go back down. God of steadfast love,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the ill in body, mind, or spirit. There are so many ways in which each one of us is in need of healing. So we pray for ourselves, but we also pray for others who need your healing touch. We name now those who are in need of healing of whatever kind. God of steadfast love,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the church, an imperfect church, a church that often falls short of your glory, but we are children of your church, and you have called us to witness to that church. If we do not witness, who will carry the word? If we remain in the closet, who will know our thoughts and feelings? The church is your church, O God, and the church is our church, for you have made us members of it. Cleanse it, heal it, enfold it, and bring us together in your great diverse vineyard. God of steadfast love,
hear our prayer.
We remember all those who have departed, who remain in our hearts. Especially this evening, we remember Aaron Barnhart, son of this community. Bless John, Nathan, and Becky as they mourn. Bless us also as we continue in grief. God of resurrections and Easters, lift our hearts to your endless dawn. God of steadfast love,
hear our prayer.
Into your loving arms we entrust all for whom we pray, confident in your mercy. Through the grace of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet your neighbor with a sign of that reconciling peace.
goodness you feed us. Out of your abundance, you make it possible for us to reach out and help feed others. May this table be laden with gifts for all your people. Amen.
Just a word of explanation before we begin the communion proper. Both wine and grape juice are offered at this table. Wine will be served both by common cup and by individual cup. Grape juice will be served by individual cup only. So if you would prefer grape juice, please take an individual cup and proceed to the second pitcher. The first pitcher will contain wine. If you would prefer a blessing rather than the elements, please come forward with your hands folded, and the person serving the bread will give you a blessing. Children are welcome to commune at this table. However, if you would wish your child not to commune, please ask them to keep their hands folded and they will receive a blessing. Please rise.
This is the day that God has made.
Let us be blessed and rejoice in it.
Shout aloud, wisdom's children.
We lift our voices and sing God's praise.
Give thanks to God, who is like a mother, like a father to us all.
For God's steadfast love endures forever.
It is right that we offer praise and thanks to God.
For the Holy Spirit is moving among us, filling us with life and grace.
Holy and wonderful is the Spirit of God,
creating unity and giving all people hope.
Holy, 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 holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, the body of Christ, to unite your people, the blood of Christ, to renew your creation.
In this meal may we be truly one, a sign and symbol for that day that is yet to come, when all people will gather as a holy communion at your holy banquet. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
We invite you to use the version of Jesus' prayer that is closest to your heart. Come as you are able, the table is prepared.
Our first communion hymn is on the other side of your small insert, your half page.
wine and bread. We have all been loved and fed. You send this gift of wine and bread. We have all been loved. In this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved and fed. You send this gift of wine and bread. We have all been loved. And Jesus, you come to us here in love and humbleness. And you welcome to your table every hungry guest. For with your body and your blood, you wipe away our sin. Gifts of love you freely give our wayward hearts to live. This gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved and fed. Send this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved. You send this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved and fed. You send this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved. In this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved and fed. Send this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved. Gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved and fed. Send this gift of wine and bread, we have all been loved.
May the body and blood of Christ strengthen you for your labors, enrich you in your service, and heal you in your recreation, now and evermore.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God of all, unite your people, whom you have fed at this holy table, through the sharing of this bread and this wine, through the vision of Christ present in each person here, and through the vision of your Holy Spirit, leading us into reconciliation with all creation. Amen.
God, beyond all time, maker of day and night, bless our waking and our sleeping. God, within our time, Savior of all that is temporal and mortal, bless our working and our resting. God, uniting past, present, and future, sanctifier of every moment, bless our doing and our being, our going out and our coming in, now and always.
Amen. Please rise for our sending hymn number 276 in responsive renewing worship. 276.
Okay.